Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. Hello, hello, everyone. How are you? Welcome to Flawed and Free. I have a wonderful, amazing, superb guest with us tonight. If you have followed us or you've been monitoring or watching or following this channel, if you're watching from YouTube, you may have seen my sister in Christ, Lisa, on some deliverance and Holy Spirit encounter manifestation conversations that we've had before in the past. And for some of you, it may be your first time, right? Maybe here to Even Flawed and Free or with us. So tonight we are coming to discuss and talk more about supernatural manifestations. I was able to be invited and partner with Lisa on a yearly conference that she has every year called It's the Super on Your Natural Conference. And God moves so mightily. So I definitely want to talk a bit about that tonight. And even with some of the things that we've experienced in the past and even up through the present with what God is doing. So I want to introduce and allow Lisa to introduce herself to our community tonight. Hello, welcome all of you that are coming
on. Hello, everybody. Yes, Lisa, so excited to be here.
Tell them a little bit about yourself and who you are and what God is doing in your ministry, in your life.
Awesome. So my name is Lisa Schwartz. I actually have two ministries. One is Crazy Eight Ministries, where we house homeless people, moms, dads, kids for a long-term time of stay. We have five different campuses in Johnson County, Texas, which means we can house at any point in time anywhere between 55, 65 residents. They stay with us for 2 to 3 years. As that we can really just change that poverty mindset and really have permanent transformation. And so we believe that the key to transformation from poverty, obviously is the name of Jesus Christ, but it comes through the ministry of relationship and not just resources. And so that's really what we focus in on Crazy Eight Ministries. And then I have Lisa Schwartz LLC, which is my writing, my speaking, my conferences. I have my own private practice. I'm a business coach. I'm a biblical counselor, and I am a personal coach as well. And so in a really fast nutshell, those are the two ministries that I have.
My God, that is a lot. That's a lot for any of us. I know sometimes people, it's hard to title or encapsulate the things, the kingdom assignment that God has, because anything that God gives us to do in the earth is always bigger than us. It's so much
bigger.
It starts out like as a seed, just like with any tree that you see in the earth. Anything was started out as a tiny, tiny little seed. And then God literally pours and breathes over this kingdom conglomerate, is what I call it, and which is what I've called it, because I can recall a vision that God gave me in 2018 and had given me for Flawed and Free. At the time, it wasn't Flawed and Free. I was still working full-time 9-to-5 as a nurse practitioner, and saw myself climbing the corporate ladder many years prior, going for my doctorates and doing the thing that I had believed I was called to do. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I won't say that it wasn't God's commission for my life. I do believe that it was part of my process, because I used the skills and a lot of the experience that I encountered in that season, even now. And so as you were just explaining the many things that you are to God, it's so amazing, because God has made us, God, so many things. You know how many names? God, there's over 100 plus names of God.
Yes, that's so good.
We can put ourselves under one title, under one function, under one assignment, under one ministry, right? Mm. Because we were created in the likeness and the image of Him. And yes. So we look like our daddy. We sound like our daddy. We walk yes. like our daddy. We talk mm. like our daddy. So yes. I know sometimes it can be very intimidating when people say, what do you do? Like, right? Because yes. people think ministry yes. is just us preaching, and it's not. What would you no. say to that?
No. I mean, yes. And I love that you kind of touched on a little bit on just really recognizing. I did a women's conference this last fall, and the theme was, what time is it? And so it was all about being able to say, like, where are you and what time is it? So do I know where I'm at? Do I know what time it is? And do I know where I fit in that season? And I love that you kind of touched on, look, this is where God had me for a season. That's where I was at. And I knew who I was in that season. And then God shifted the season, and I have, and I'm learning who I am in this season as well. So a lot of that is such a good process. And I think there's wisdom in saying, like, you know, there's a purpose in your heart, and God never changes that purpose, but your vision is seasonal. So the vision of how I'm going to fulfill that purpose, what's in my heart, looks different for every season. And I love that you touched on that and saying, like, this is where I was at, and I prospered, and there was purpose in it. But then God picked up that pillar and moved on, and I packed my stuff out, and I followed Him, and I went into the next season. And I think that takes a lot of courage. You know, as a business coach, I tell people all the time, it takes a lot of courage to start something, but it also takes a lot of courage to stop doing something. So good for you that you were like, man, this is where I'm comfortable. Like, I've got a sure ladder here. This is my comfort zone. This is where I'm at. I'm familiar with it. I know what to expect. And when God said, yeah, but the pillar cloud is moving on. And you were like, oh, I got to go. Wherever God's going, that's where I'm going.
I got to go. I gotta go.
Yeah.
My daddy called me. He pulled up on me one day, but trust me, he didn't drag me out. You know, he honestly did not drag me out. I know sometimes I've said this a lot. You said it in your conference, Lisa, and it's something I've said as well. And it really pulled on my heart, because God has said this so many times, like, we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. Yes. And so God will reveal His plan for you, His purpose for you, the commission that He has placed us in the earth for. And literally, we're sometimes, even though it's okay to move in childlike faith and obedience, because God loves that. That's what God likes. But it's shifting from that place of sonship to kingship.
That's really
what I've noticed, that a lot of believers begin to struggle. Right. Is not only, because it's one thing to believe, and then it's another to be a Christian atheist, which so many of us are. So we carry the title of being a Christian, which many believe we're believers, but we don't believe in the supernatural. Right. Which is why I was loving your conference. My God. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it was so many gems, so many jewels, so many tangible, applicable, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundational principles that you began to share and expound and demonstrate, because God is a living God. He's alive and He's well. And we just see God and the move of God as something that's passed away, that's old, that's historical, that is not still yet present for today. And mm-hmm. so as believers, we are supposed to be carrying the signs, the miracles, and the wonders of those who believe. Amen. And so for some reason, of course, you spoke to the same in this movement. You spoke to a number of things that have hindered and quenched the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we now see the remnant reviving this ideology, this doctrine, and this doctrinal error, and all of through this spirit of error, religiosity, religion, and just lies that have been told, that have been passed down, that have been inherited, right? Through tradition and through certain things that we just never questioned. We never went to the Holy Spirit. So what would you say to a person about what sonship and transitioning into a place of kingship, so that they can experience the tangible manifestation of God in the supernatural?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that goes back to kind of the theme of the conference. We kept talking about moving from an identity, which is my position, into assignment, which is my power, right? And so when you say sonship versus kingship, that's exactly what I think. A king has authority, right? A son knows who he has the right because he has the position. But when I shift into kingship, now I understand I have the right to move and to practice that power. It's the difference between having the power and the right to practice the power. And so there were so many basics in this conference of going back and teaching the basics, like what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? But there were so many aha moments for people that I think, even though they were raised, a lot of them were raised in the Pentecostal or charismatic, and they know, they had never understood the purpose and the why behind the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and recognizing that this is God moving us from our identity in Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, having that sonship, knowing I'm a child of God, to the priestly position of the assignment that I have, the authority that He's given to me, that I no longer have to beg for things, but I get to activate things because He's given me the assignment. And so I think even when you use the verbiage sonship versus kingship, that's what I think of. I'm moving from, I know my position, I know who I am, I know that the rights that I have, to, oh, I can practice my position, and I can practice those rights, and I can practice the power. And it's more than just who I am, it's what I'm called to do. And it's who I'm called to be to people. And of course, I kept over and over all week saying, like, the Holy Spirit in me for me, the Holy Spirit upon me for others, because I think we've become a deactivated kingdom. And we have the activation in us, but we're waiting on everybody else to activate it. Or we're going over and over and over again to Apostle Latina, Pastor Lisa, whoever it is, and saying, I need to be activated. Can you? And it's like, come on, it's time for us to activate ourselves. And I think the Lord was very sweet in the very beginning that kind of brought that word in distinguishing between, with the 10 virgins, the 5 who were wise and the 5 who were foolish, and recognizing that we all have the lamps. They all had the lamps. They were all saved. They all had the Holy Spirit in them. But when it came time, when the rubber met the road, only 5 of them were ready. Only 5 of them knew how to cultivate that oil, the Holy Spirit, the manifestational gifts. And so I think, you know, having been raised Catholic, then getting saved and schooling with the Baptists for 20 years, and really being thought that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a divisive phrase, and that it spoke that, you know, I didn't have the Holy Spirit at all. And really going back to the word, and it was so important for me to know, well, Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, He did.
The disciples received the baptism. And in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them. But he said, but tarry ye in the city until you are endued with the power upon high. And so He's basically saying, I know I just breathed the Spirit in you, but there is more. And without this more, you will not survive this mission.
Amen. And
so, you know, super long answer to your question, but I think sonship to kingship is moving from identity, I know who I am, to authority, and I know my assignment.
Amen. Amen. So much to say, so many places to go. Mm-hmm. I know you're, because I literally, my brain is out. Like, Holy Spirit's like, pictures in my head, you know, and all the things. I don't know where the Holy Spirit is going to go ultimately, but I'm going to say this because I feel it literally at the top of the list.
Yes, let's go.
We're speaking of sonship and kingship. Some people have heard it for the first time. And though we could go in depth and really delve deep into this, I want people to understand where I believe not only moving from sonship to kingship is an issue, but coming into sonship is one of the first things. So before we can skip steps, which we like to do a lot in the kingdom, or just in general, it's like, I want to get to the end result. I want to get to the outcome. I want to see the manifestation of God's glory. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be this kingdompreneur, all of the things, and we don't see the purification and the steps in the process. We don't see what the circumcision and how important that is right before the crossover. How it's important to even give ourselves time to literally be cut away from things and different mindsets. Even when the children of Israel were led up out of Egypt, what a journey they were on as wanderers in the wilderness, that they still kept that Egyptian mindset, not understanding who they were created to be, for a short trip to even be extended through years and years through disobedience. And even still Joshua and Caleb being raised up to to still carry out the mission. So a lot of times people think it's too late. So much time has passed. I don't know who I am. We're always talking about identity and purpose and all of the things, and sometimes all at the same time. And I feel like it can be confusing. But one of the things that I really like to help people before we even get to the place of kingship is really understanding who we are as a son. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, I'm going to read it aloud for those that are listening. There's other scriptures as well that speak to sonship, because we must understand that even Jesus, right, is a son. He had to be a son in the earth in order for him to perfect and carry out the commission that was placed on his life for us, right, in the earth. And so the same is so with us. They say, well, in whose authority do you come in, right? So even as we, as believers, people are looking at us as Christians, if you're using the terminology of a Christian, but do you really carry the sign of believer that people can trust and see the demonstration of God's power to say, whose authority? This is an authority that's greater than mine. This is an authority. But if you do not know how to become a son of God, how to submit to God, right? If you don't know, in Romans chapter 8, 14, I'm giving you, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God. Out of KJV, which is one of the keys. We ain't even got even to the rest of this. It says that are led by the Spirit of God. So we know that if you are a son of God, that you, if you are a son of God, you must be led by the Spirit of God, not just any spirit, but led by the Spirit. Even Jesus, before he went into the garden, right? Before he went into, he received the Holy Spirit first. He received the Holy Spirit and by John the Baptist when he baptized them. From there, he was led into a fast. He was led up into the mountain and within the tested and tempted in this time. But there's no way that he could have endured those 40 days. There's no way, but he being 100% man and 100% God needed to be filled. He needed the Holy Spirit to come upon him, right? As you went into detail about the Holy Spirit coming upon him, and he needed the announcement. There was an announcement that even God parted the heavens and said, this is my son. This is with who I am well pleased. This is who. And so God has called us to be his faithful servants. And as 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's number one. It says, they are the sons of God. That's the first sentence. They are the sons of God, for as many as led. So you can quickly determine, am I called? Am I chosen? Am I set apart? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? That is one of the first keys to becoming a son and moving as a son. And so it says in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, and whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So I see here, I spoke to the many names of God and the many things that he is. But if you don't know him as Abba, Father, if you have not allowed God to minister to you and to show himself to you as your Abba, Father, then it will be hard to allow him to lead you as a son. Because just as a son would receive an inheritance, you and I have received our righteous royal inheritance because of bloodline blessing, because of the bloodline blessing as a father. So even Abraham, through the Abrahamic covenant, he received a generational blessing, right? If you go into Genesis, I believe it's Genesis, 17. It may even be 17, where the Lord begins to speak to him about his covenant. And he says that he calls him the father of many nations. This is around the time he changes his name. And he tells him that I will bless your seed. I will bless your seed to many generations. And he then speaks to making him a king. He then speaks to what his assignment is. He then begins to speak to endow him with all that he is called and made a covenant with him. Mm-hmm. generations in the future, right? Through the generations that he's beginning to speak to, and I might have the scriptures picked up, but he's speaking to Isaac and then Ishmael. So with Isaac, he even gave, right? We know the 12 tribes came out of Ishmael, but he said that he will make them princes to many nations. But to Isaac, he made him a king. But even through the covenant that was made through Abram, now Abraham, we see that he became the son of God, being led by the Spirit of God, moving in the might of God. And so as we are called to be and to walk into the commission and under the assignment of God, we must first become adopted into the royal priesthood. We must first receive the inheritance, being led by the Spirit of God. So a lot of people are struggling because they're looking at the natural manifestation of their father, not their father in heaven. And so they begin, you spoke to an orphan spirit. You spoke to an orphan spirit that is attached and has been assigned generationally even to father, to men and women with fatherless homes, or maybe have been abused or maybe not been in a place where they saw this carried out and the demonstration of God's love and God's power and God's protection and God's provision. And so it has skewed their sight, so they cannot see him as Abba Father. And so they struggle with the authority that comes with the sonship before they can even delegate their authority as kings in the earth. Before they can even get to the point to where they become ambassadors, to the point to where they can speak, decree, declare, and establish it. For the word says that it is so that you can decree a thing and it shall be so.
Yes.
A thing and it shall be so. This is the function of a king, because we come from a government of God and we legislate the law. This is how we know who we are and where we come from. So there's a lot of work that we have to do in the body of Christ to really begin to delve deep and helping people to find their identities as sons. Then we can begin to move them into the manifestation of God's declaration of power and authority, because God has given so many of us so much. So we have yet to see those supernatural manifestations and even the things that God has commissioned and called us just as believers. What would you say even to those that are struggling with an orphan spirit? Maybe somebody heard what I said and they were like, oh my God, that's a lot. Most people do when I talk, you know, and they're like, what did you just say? Go back to this part, go back to that part. But I want you to get the part about becoming a son and walking in your sonship. How would you help someone who says, well, am I a son? Am I walking?
I love that question. And I think really it comes back to understanding the grace of God. And I think the whole world, and even some, you know, I'm born into the sonship of my mother and father, right? Yeah. So I did nothing. I just came in. I was just born into it. And part of the challenge is then, you know, for some of us, we had to perform well to be loved unconditionally with our parents. We weren't loved unconditionally, all these things. And so we have so many things that taint or attack the idea of just being born into something and being loved unconditionally. And I think this goes back to recognizing, you know, you mentioned the covenant between God and Abram. And the beautiful thing about that covenant is that God put a deep sleep on Abram. And he slept while, when two men would make a covenant, they would cut a carcass apart and they would each pass between the carcass. And it was a sign of a covenant. One man would pass, the other man would pass, and they both partook in that covenant. And it said, I'm making a covenant with you and you're making a covenant with me. Well, when he split that carcass apart, and the Bible says that God put a deep sleep on Abram, and God himself was the only, he had that smoking fire pot that moved between the two carcasses. And the imagery that we get here is God basically saying to Abram, there is nothing you can do to keep your covenant with me. This is not about you and I coming into covenant. This is only about my covenant to you. You can fall asleep in every commitment you've made to me, and I will still be faithful to you. And so he's basically like, Abram, you're not going to get it right. You're going to mess it up. And honestly, I don't need you to keep this covenant. This isn't about you and I making a covenant with each other. This is about me making a covenant to you. And here's the thing is, in our natural minds, along with our natural experience. So in my world, we say your experience plus your system equals your belief system. And so a lot of times our belief system is just BS. right? Because my experience and my system is all I know. And a lot of times it just leads me to these core beliefs that are just a whole lot of BS. And so when I try to inject Jesus into that, it's so counterintuitive to what we experience in the world, especially if you are raised by a difficult structure, family structure, yeah, where you never learned unconditional love. And what God is saying is sonship starts by recognizing all I have to do is sit here and sleep and receive, yeah, the covenant that God had made towards me. And that is so hard because we live in a very performance-based, yeah, world. And so I think it really goes back to saying, do I believe that I could fall asleep? I could totally become faithless, right? Because he says he's faithful to the faithless. Mm-hmm. How, when people are like, well, if I can only go this far, or you can only, and so I'm like, so what you're telling me is there's a limit to God's grace.
Right.
Because I refuse to believe that, because that's the total definition of grace, is that there is no limit. There's, yeah, no limit to God's love. And so I think with somebody who's struggling with sonship, I like to do it like this. When I start my prayer time every morning, I start like this, and I open up my hands and I'm quiet and I say, Father, I am here to receive my inheritance.
I love it.
That's it. And I'm, and can I be the most messed up, in the worst attitude, have been crazy with my kids, nasty to my husband in that moment, and still be worthy to receive the inheritance because of the blood shed of Jesus Christ, who positionally brought me into the sonship of God? That is hard for my mind to reconcile. It's hard for me because the whole world tells us that you have to earn your right. You have to earn your way. You have to work for these things. You have to get your degree to get this position. You have, yeah, to do this dance to get the kiss, all of these things. And, yes, the kingdom is not like that at all. And it's so hard, no, for us to, so if I were to give somebody, I would say, relax and receive it. Relax, just relax and receive it. The Bible, relax, says that we only love because he first loved us. Mm. And so you can respond to God. There's no way you could be a child to God until you receive him as your father first.
Amen.
So relax and receive it. Relax and let it be. Just let it be. Stop. Just be still and receive it. And that takes a lot of faith.
It does.
And so, and just that ceasing from striving and just sitting in his presence and saying, man, I've had the worst day. I've been the worst. I've had the worst attitude. I've made the worst decisions. I sinned over here. I cussed over here. Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't care. And because God says you can fall asleep and I will still be in covenant with you.
My God. Sounds so familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that what he did with Adam? Right?
Yeah. 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 100%. You know.
Right. God is so intentional. He's
I want to read in the Passion, because I think you're going to love this. I was like, okay, ooh, you're going to love this. In the Passion Translation, Romans 8:14, it says, mm-hmm, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Oh. And I was like, you know how much religious people probably hate that terminology, like the impulse, because they're like, oh, self-control, you can have an impulsive. And I'm like, no, there is an impulsivity that the Holy Spirit brings you into, where it's like, when Jesus said, when in John chapter 4, where it says Jesus must needed go to Samaria, to the well of Samaria, that's the impulse of the, yes, Holy Spirit, the unction. He must needed go. What does that phrase even mean, right? It means he couldn't not go. There was an impulse in him,
right,
impulsivity of the Holy Ghost. And he was like, I know we're going this way, and I know you people are hungry, but I got an impulse inside of me of the Holy Ghost, and I must need go this way. And so I was like, when you're reading, I was like, ooh, this is a good word in the Passion Translation.
I am trying to tell you, one of the things that will change your entire life when, yes, you really submit and yield to the will of the Holy Spirit, and those unctions to pray. Like, I remember when God was training me as an intercessor, and this, it would literally hit me like a ton of bricks, right? Of course, mm-hmm, now I'm so sensitive in the spirit, but, yes, in the earlier seasons of learning to pray and intercede, not just because it's 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock rock, right? But literally because I was being led, and that was new to me. That was new because religion teaches you through work. Like, oh, you know, you got to pray this many times. And now God will implement strategy in prayer, right? Because he's the greatest strategist of all. And then when you get to talking about prayer watches and being a watchman on the wall and being assigned to, you know, these are levels of intercession that once I became a prophetic intercessor, right, which took me to a new dimension and to a new realm of the prophetic that I didn't know just as an intercessor. And so then God began to train me and equip me into more strategic warfare at certain watches, because there's certain angels that are dispatched at certain watches that they only work. They only work within those watches, right? And so they're always working, they're always moving. And so as God began to elevate me in the understanding and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit and by the wisdom of God, the unctions change from, oh, God told me I need to pray in the morning and pray when I get up and pray when I lay down. And it moved from a place of legalism and ritualistic behavior to really receiving the unction and the move and the utterance of the Holy Spirit saying, now pray. Now, so sometimes I'd be in my car. Sometimes I'm at the grocery store and I feel this unction and I'm like, gotta go. Like, I've gotten off of telephone calls, like literally just like he picked up, ha ha ha, he he, girl, that was so funny. Ha. And then the Holy Spirit be like, I need you to go pray like now. And I'm like, girl, gotta go. Click.
That's good.
You know, it's like, so it's a new thing for me. And it's like, what is this? Is this just me? Well, you're just literally being pulled into, you know, God's work. You're being pulled in because he cannot manifest himself without you in the earth. It's spiritually illegal.
Say that again.
One thing I tried to.
Say that again.
That God cannot manifest. He cannot manifest himself in the earth without the agreement and without you. He needs you because it's spiritually illegal for him to function outside of a body, right? Like, so he's not going to go against that. He's not going to go against his law. He's not, his word would not return back void. He will not do it. And so he'll search search the world, roaming, looking to and fro. Who can I use? Who can I call? Who can I? And so this is where we come in as intercessors and prayer warriors and prophetic intercessors and whatever we are, whatever God needs us to be, we're that whenever he needs it. But nonetheless, he needs us. He doesn't have to. He could function outside of us, right? It's not that he's the creator, right? Like, God can stop, start, chase, begin. He can do, but he truly needs the sons and the kings of God. He needs us. He's the King of Kings, remember, and the Lord of Lords. So in order for us to see his manifestation in the earth, we must partner with him. And this is where I, you know, want to even touch on before we close out, just some of the supernatural manifestations of God, because I find that when we start, people think we're cool, we're kind of kooky. They think that, you know, what we're saying is weird, you know, and things like that. At your conference, Lisa, the glory of God manifested so mass that it was already there. My intercessors had been praying over your conference. And so not only were they praying over your conference, but day two specifically, the Lord I see one of my prayer warriors on here. She wasn't even able to make it. She was actually watching virtually. And so she had received some words in her watchman time concerning your ministry, concerning what was going to happen on day two. And then some of the other intercessors that are a part of the team were also covering all the way up until we got there. We were literally praying in the car. We were praying that morning. They were tag teaming and covering space and loosing the angels there. So when we got there and I saw quickly the glory, the manifestation, which is not uncommon, just in the short time I've come and been around your meetings and things like that, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is very much present. Yes. And so we experienced within 20 minutes, not even 24 minutes, the manifestation of the glory of God, because we function very heavily in the glory realm in this ministry. Shout out to my spiritual father, who's the glory man, the miracle man, Apostle Chasten Strickland. I've received lots of impartation from him through the years over the miracle ministry he carries, and even the miracle ministry that I move in as a part of my mandate. This isn't anything extra special. I just been mandated in this area of deliverance with this mantle. Nonetheless, we actually experience what we've been praying for. You spoke to Gold Dust at a ministry meeting, and I experienced it at your conference. And so we're praying. And we've been praying for these supernatural manifestations, and then it happened. And then this morning, one of my intercessors, one of my close partners in the ministry, Sierra, actually, she got a jewel from heaven manifested in her prayer closet. And literally, we got pictures, we put it online. And so the Lord had told me many, many months ago and prophetically released the open heavens that I was walking under and the manifestation of that open heaven in every space that he sends me. And with every conference, with every place, even on the street, even with the street ministry and the evangelism and all the stuff that's happening, we see God's presence and God's power. We are seeing these supernatural manifestations, jewels from heaven, literally diamonds falling from the sky. You know, of course, it's not the sky. It's in the third heaven, or above the third heaven.
Yes.
And three. But we know at minimum there's three. And I was telling one of my spiritual daughters, because we were rejoicing and giving glory to God for these manifestations, these heavenly manifestations that he's allowed us to see and experience and encounter. And I told my spiritual daughter, I said, listen, it's a miracle all in itself that the three heavens, right, if you can just imagine, right, how far they could possibly be, that a manifestation of a diamond would be placed on your pillow as you've gone before God in your prayer closet and seeking him. And I know. And literally, I said, I lose the back of my earring back. Like I wear big earrings, love big earrings. And I was telling her, I said, listen to this analogy Holy Spirit told me. And I'm barely 6 feet tall. I'm not even 6 feet. I'm like 5'6" on my best day. And so even with that, I lose my back and it drops on the floor and I can't find it. I can't see it. That's something falling from less than 6 feet.
Yes,
literally less than 6 feet. And you mean to tell me this jewel, this diamond from heaven traveled from the third to the second to the first through your prayer closet to your pillow?
And just listen, right there is just poop right there. I mean, I think that was the finger of God that was just like, let me just put it right here for you, baby.
I think that's more like it. I think if the wind blows hard enough, if the wind blows hard enough, you can lose a receipt, right?
Yes.
Like, just receipt gone. Like in the wind, if the wind blows one good time, you know, in the earth. So you mean to tell me that we have a precious, invaluable gem from God that was released under this open portal of heaven and placed and positioned on your pillow?
Let's go.
Why do we not? Even in sharing these manifestations, people give you this look. Like, it's this deer in headlight look. Like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, oh, you really, a diamond just showed up? And we're going to take it to a gemologist and all the things so that we can, you know, get some receipts on it, just so the saints don't try to, you know, be with the fool la la. But nonetheless, we know for a fact, even the you know, we know for a fact, even the gold dust, like my daughters was like, we see it.
That's
oh
good.
My God.
That's so good.
You know,
that's so
like,
good.
Why would gold be coming from heaven? Why? You know, so can you explain some of these supernatural manifestations, just like in a brief version where people can understand why this is possible and why God would allow this?
Yeah. So my first answer to that is no, I can't, right? Like, you can't explain the supernatural. So I'm going to try as best as I can.
Hey, Freedom Fighters, it's Tina, your host from Flawed and Free Podcast. Are you experiencing spiritual attacks in your dreams? Do you have questions about spiritual warfare and deliverance? Or are you just seeking Holy Spirit-led advice and wise counsel? I have great news for you. We are now offering one-to-one consultations to set you on the right path to purpose. Why struggle alone in your own thoughts when we together are a part of the body of Christ? Therefore, we must help one another. So as one of his servants, it would be a pleasure to support you on your journey from your now to your next. Go today, do not delay, and book your consultation with me. You can go to theflawedandfree.com, or I will put the link in the episode description of this podcast, and you can go there and book your session with me. God bless.
Can, based on what we know from biblical principles. But at the end of the day, if you can't explain it, don't dismiss it, right? Because if it's not it's not unexplainable, it's probably not supernatural. And so, but what we do know is the Bible talks a lot about the heavens colliding with the earth. And so the heavens are filled. I'm going to go back to that third heavens that you're talking about. The third heavens is a supernatural, spiritual realm. And we are captivated. We live down here. Our physical bodies are in the first heavens. And in the second heavens, we've got the spirit realm with the angelic and the demonic warfare and all of that stuff. And so the supernatural is when I allow my body, or I cultivate a space around my body where the Holy Spirit can begin to move. What happens is I now become the intersection. I become the portal where heaven can come down into the first heavens and inject himself into the first heavens. And so that can manifest however he wants to, if we let him. It will manifest however he wants to. And what we do know is it's a third heaven thing coming in and colliding with our physical bodies, that which is a first heaven thing, our flesh. And so when we see people manifest in the form, let me just talk about physical manifestations at this point. We're talking about like shaking or laughing or falling out slain and all of these things, it's because the third heavens has now collided with your physical body, which is in the first heavens, and it's big and it's overwhelming. And I can't, it's too much for my physical body in some regard. Like I've had open visions where the room got so bright and brilliant. I literally was just cowering because it was too much for my natural eye, right? It was too bright for my natural eye. And so I believe when you cultivate an atmosphere, when it says the Lord is present to heal, his presence heals. So when you and I and a group of people get together and we all just begin to yield and allow our physical bodies to be a portal where the Holy Spirit can come in and out, and we give him free rein in the room, he can manifest in a room however he wants to. And so that gold dust often is called the Shekinah glory of the Lord, which is the weightiness of God, the thickness of God. And we've all felt that, right? We have felt like this thickness or this heaviness. I've been in a room with people in board meetings where I just begin to prophesy over somebody. They don't really know what's going on. And all of a sudden they're like, what is that? Like, what is going on? Like they can feel a thickening in the room happening. Well, often the Lord will open our eyes to see the manifestation of that glory, that Shekinah glory. And that's a lot of times what they call gold dust. I can't explain it any more than that. If I could, it would be natural and I would be using science to try and explain it. Yeah. And I don't want to use science to explain the supernatural, right? And so really what it's doing is the more we as individuals, you hit the nail on the head. It was like, man, we are the key of that manifestation. But let's think about Jesus with the disciples. Jesus prayed to the heaven with two fish and five loaves. Two fish and five loaves into 12 pieces. So now each disciple has 1/12 of not enough. Okay. So they have 1/12 of not enough. And the Bible says that as they went, that the food began to manifest, right? So the manifestation of the miracle did not come from the hand of Jesus. It came through the obedience and the surrender and the yielding, even in the, it doesn't make sense of the disciples, right? So they're like, this doesn't make any sense, but because you said it, we're going to do it. And as they went, it just began to multiply. But that miracle actually manifested through the hands of the disciples. Yeah. Now, could Jesus have been like, quail, fall from the sky? Manna, absolutely, because he did it like that in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking New Testament now, where Jesus is like, I am coming to reestablish authority, but I'm going to leave and I'm going to give you authority. And I don't want to use creation to speak on my behalf and demand he does. But what he wants to use, because remember he said, even if you are silent, then the rocks will cry out in your place.
Yes.
So his first choice is for you not to be silent and for you to be yielded and for you to be used, that those manifestations can actually go live and manifest through you as you yield to the Holy Spirit. And so the signs, miracles, and wonders cannot be defined. They cannot be explained and they cannot be limited. I believe that you and I will only experience a tip of the iceberg of the possibilities of heaven here on earth. And I don't want to miss out on any of that. Any of it. I don't want to get to heaven someday and be like, wait a minute, I could have laid hand on that man and he could have been healed. He could have gotten up and walked. Like, nobody wants to get heaven and to get heaven and look back and go, wish I would have. What if I could have? Why didn't I? No, like, I don't want to be that person. And so I believe that it's super important that we recognize, and you nailed it. We are the intersection. Yes. We are the collision of heaven and earth. We are the portal. And the more we yield our physical bodies and let God do things that don't make sense, 1/12 of not enough does not make sense, sister. It doesn't make sense. But they didn't try to explain it. They didn't try to reason it. They didn't even ask any questions. They were like, well, let's go. Let's start moving. And as they went, a miracle, what didn't exist manifested here on the earth, which is the definition of a miracle. Things that don't exist begin to manifest and exist. They come into an existence. Our very salvation, life was not there. Our spirits were dead to sin. And in a moment, when you received Jesus, you took a breath and life happened. Where there was no life, your spirit came alive in Christ. I was dead in my sin, but I came alive in Christ. That is a miracle. And so it makes me crazy when I'm talking to a believer that says, I don't believe in signs, miracles, and wonders. I'm like, then you must not be saved. Because your salvation is lynched on the fact that a dead man got up and walked around.
That's right.
That is a miracle.
That is exactly that.
So it's funny, you just made all kinds of miracles. It's all kinds of manifestations. Go ahead.
Absolutely. No. You can finish it. It absolutely, I was hearing it even as you were speaking, like, how can you truly be a believer if you don't believe? There's no way that you cannot believe that it's possible in this present day to resurrect someone from the dead. Like literally that people aren't resurrecting now to the present day people from the dead. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe in Jesus, because He, by the Holy Spirit, was resurrection power that got him up from the grave.
Yes.
And even raptured him, right? That even raptured him up. So it's like, but I'm a believer. I received Christ. I received the salvation of Christ. I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And the thing is, in the past, I've seen ministries and churches always stop at the death, burial, and resurrection. And I always say the ascension. Let's not forget, he ascended. ASCENSION. We talk about the death. We talk about the burial. We talk about resurrecting, him getting up. And the church be like, on every Easter, he got up and he got up and he got up. But what did he? He got up with all power in his hands. But yes, he did. But he also ascended.
Yeah,
he
so
also
good.
Ascended.
So good.
And so it's like, let us not forget the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ Jesus, and that we are also seated in heavenly places with him, right? Right. We're seated there as well. And so he has given us a shared seat, a joint inheritance to share this governing authority in the realm of heaven. And so when the Lord says he will make your enemy your footstool, what that means Kings had a scepter. They had a crown. They have a signet ring. They mm-hmm. have, there's a whole garment thing, right? They're cloaked. They are given territory. They are, when God says he will make the enemy your footstool, kings have footstools. That's kings good. Literally
really put good.
Their feet on a footstool. And so what he's talking to you is he's talking about your kingship. He is giving you the authority to be a king, to decree, to declare, and to govern with the authority that Christ Jesus obtained for you so that you can then dethrone, dispossess, and possess.
Yeah.
And so this is the proper order and protocol of every kingdom ambassador. I tell people a lot of times, like, let's say I'm a Texas resident. And so what lets people know that I am a citizen? Because we're more than we're citizens from the kingdom of God, but we're more than citizens because citizens are just inhabitants. We're actually ambassadors, and ambassadors are people of royalty and authority. And so as ambassadors of heaven, we have a license. God has given us a license, right? And Jesus' face is on that license and our name is on that license. And so when I get pulled over by the authorities in the state of Texas, and they say, I need your license and I need your registration, what they're asking me is do you have authority to be here? Do you have authority to drive on these streets?
Yes.
A license to inhabit, and you have broken a law of some sort, right? Or maybe not. But this also speaks to what the governing legislation is in the state of Texas. So if the law says that I have to wait 3 seconds at the stop sign and I break the law, then I am now subject to the law. And so this is as in kingdom ambassadors, why God says that we can't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because they are connected to lawlessness. We are governed under the law of life, and they are governed under the law of sin and death. And so we legislate from the law, which is the word of God, which is why we must, God's like, how do you separate to know who is who and how you're able to move and what authority you're able to move in? And so this is like your sonship, your kingship, your authority and your dominion in the earth is what shows you not only to the realm of the spirit who you are, but to the natural realm, what you have the ability and the authority to access and to govern and to legislate. So when people argue with me about the courts of heaven and they try to tell me it's not biblical and all of these other things, I said, it's a lie. What do you think a decree is? It's a lie. What do you think? There are so many things, right? That what do you think God said when he says we can petition his throne? What do you think a petition is?
Yeah.
Like, I need you. There are so many legislative terms that are filtered all out the scripture through the word of God. Deborah was a judge, right? We see the Sanhedrin. We see, right? So we have been from the beginning of time having to follow a protocol, a structure, and an order, right? Well, not just in the earth, but also.
I was thinking even in Exodus, the first thing that Moses is doing is he's establishing some sense of, that's the whole purpose of the Ten Commandments, was to establish a nation.
Ten Commandments.
Some sense of order. And Jethro comes to him as like, starts like, you need to appoint leaders to oversee this many, then this many, then this many. And all, even creation, God is like, I'm going to create the voids and then I'm going to go back and fill the voids. When Jesus fed the multitude, he broke them into groups of 40. And what he's doing is he's established some sort of government, some order there in all of those things. And so you see that it is all over scripture that there is some sort of order and governmental structure. I mean, even the 12, the number 12 represents government. You know, so he's like, I've got 12 to establish the government of the kingdom. And so it's so, so biblical. I want to go back to, because we were talking about the resurrection and the ascension and the verse that God was putting in my mind. And he was like, and the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that that quickens your mortal spirit, right? And so he's like, so you have the resurrected power of Jesus, the same spirit that resurrected Jesus. It lives and moves and breathes in you. And that is the authority that you have to then begin to manifest life here on earth, minister life to other people. And when I say life, I mean life into their marriage, life into their mentality, life into their poverty. I mean, let's not limit it to just dead in life. There's a lot of dead things in believers that need to be brought back to life. And God has given, that's a miracle. Those are miracles. We're talking. So yes, I love the signs, miracles, and wonders of the gold dust, the mist, the shaking and the, but let's talk about the miracles that we need as well. Sometimes I just need a miracle in my mindset. Can I just be honest? Sometimes I need God to miraculously deliver me from my anger and bring me into the grace of the kingdom. I need help in those moments. And I remind myself, there is a spirit in me that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Lord, have mercy. Deliver me from this anger. I need you to take it from me. I need you to bring grace into the midst of my anger and replenish it, replace it. I need a divine exchange, God. And so I think from a very practical sense, when we're recognizing that sonship, going back to sonship, these are the rights that we have in a moment to be like, okay, I recognize that my anger is stealing my energy. It is not of God. And we've all been that place where it's like, how do I stop being angry? That's the most frustrating place.
Yeah.
How do I stop being depressed? How do I stop having doubt? How do I stop having fear? How do I stop feeling anxious? Those are those moments that you get to remind yourself, God says that the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that is in me and quickens my mortal spirit. And so I speak to the mortality in me and I tell you to come to life. I speak to you anxiety and I tell you to get off of me, get out of me. I breathe in the breath of Jesus and I exhale, come on, exhale whatever you need to do.
Yes.
So I want to keep it relevant too. I mean, these moments like that is a supernatural moment. And we felt that.
Yes.
I have felt supernaturally the lifting of a heaviness in a moment.
Yes.
I'm in a tongue and all of a sudden my mind begins to change. What seemed impossible all of a sudden seems so possible. A question that I had suddenly becomes a resounding solution in a moment. That because God is doing miracles. That's the water being turned to wine inside of a vessel.
Yes.
Like, we don't know from the dip to the lip, at what point did it happen? You are that vessel. And if you are watching this tonight and you're like, there are some ordinary watery things in my life that I need to be turned into wine, extraordinary, that I need God to do a miracle in my mind. I need God to do a miracle in my eyes. I need God to do a miracle in my heart. Do not cut God short. Don't look for signs and miracles around you before you expect them within you. And
Jesus.
So I want us to remember that God wants to work in us,
Yes.
So there is nothing that you are going through. There is no mentality that you are stuck in. There is no doubt. There is only no disappointment. There is no discouragement that God does not, again, that miracle, he doesn't want to manifest, inject in a moment. He wants to inject hope where you feel hopeless in a moment. Oh, won't he do it? Let him do it. Come on, we say all the time, won't he do it? And I like to say, well, let him do it. Sometimes you just need to rest, relax and receive it. Relax and receive it. Sometimes we're like the prophets of Baal, calling on our God, trying to slash ourselves, and we're working too hard in worship. Sometimes you just need to lay down and let him do it. Just let him do
let
it.
Let him go.
Come on.
Who are you speaking? Right here. You speaking.
So we're talking about the resurrection. I was like, that's it. That's it. And that same spirit is what's in us. And we get to pull on that because we are sons and daughters of the God. And we have the authority, the kingship to say, okay, I'm going to stretch out the scepter right here and make a change. I'm going to seal this with the signet ring and make a decree. I'm going to make a law in my own life, right?
So, that's right.
And these are the rights that we have.
God honors it.
I was like, oh, I got to go backwards. I'm so sorry. I got to go backwards because
it's
I was like,
not even going backwards. It's not, Yes, it's not even going backward. I'm going to speak to Romans chapter 4, verse 17.
Yes.
And I love KJV, and yes. But I'm going to read it. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Yes.
Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have the power, right, that was given to us by God to quicken things to life, to resurrect those that are dead,
yes.
to bring forth the revival and the resurrecting power of God, not just like you said, through gold dust and heavenly manifestations, but speak that thing over your marriage, those things that be not as though they were. In the name of Jesus, that we can actually revive and resurrect.
Hallelujah.
We see even in Ezekiel, he says, speak to these dry bones, speak to the bone. We talk about speaking, decreeing, declaring, and activation, that your voice is recognized in heaven, that there is a signal, like it's almost like the bat signal, right? Like when you talk about the natural and comics, right? And it's like, listen, there is a signal, there is a sign. Your voice has a registration.
So
your voice has a license in the kingdom of God that says, this is mine. This is my daughter. When the Lord spoke to the disciples in the boat and the wind was tossing them to and fro and they woke Jesus up, he spoke to the wind. Right. Mm-hmm. He spoke to the wind. He was like, y'all should know by now, right?
Yes.
That you have this ability, you have the authority to speak. And so what the enemy has done is he's muzzled the mouths of many. He's muzzled the mouths of, let me be quiet. And I don't want to say what I saw. And I just heard something. I just sensed something. And I just see, like, am I going crazy? I just saw something, you know, run past me. I've been driving down the street and I've seen shadows crossing. And when I looked up at the sky, there wasn't a cloud. There wasn't anything. And I literally saw the manifestation of a demonic, a dark shadow crossing the street in front of me. You know, just so many things that over time we dismiss, right?
Yeah.
We dismiss. It's like, I'm seeing things. This can't be real. This can't be, right? But we can actually change within a second, right? We can bring the kingdom of heaven for it to manifest swiftly and expediently right now in the earth. Where do we get the mindset that we have to die in order to manifest the resources and the rewards of heaven, that we will only see, right, disease be disease free and be healed and made whole and all of these things? Why is it even in Gilgal, right, when Joshua and them were preparing to cross over and he went through and he sent them through that circumcision, there was a time they had to, he said that he would heal them in this place, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would heal them and make them whole. And so we will think that we will only see the fullness of God or the wholeness of God in eternity, that we can experience God's fullness and God's wholeness now, right? Like, where do we get that we have to suffer and wait till we die to experience peace when it's the fruit of the Spirit?
Yes.
And if we're led by the Spirit and we the indwelling Spirit of God lives in us and has taken domain in us, then they don't match. There's an authority that has the access to the kingdom and everything in it. So it's like we're contradicting and we're speaking death. For we know Proverbs 18:21 says death first. It lists, we say life and death, but the scripture doesn't mention life first. It mentions death first. So why does it mention in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue? It could have said life and death, but it said death and life, right? Because we see that death has to happen, whether it's death to your flesh, whether it's a death that has to happen before you can see and experience the resurrecting power of life. So there is a reason. Plus, I believe that we speak death quicker right? We believe in that more than we do in rest. So if I were to lay hands and in a cold morgue, if I was to get access to a hospital system and go in there and start laying hands on cold dead bodies and people started walking up out of there, they probably would act a fool, right? They probably would kick me out and say that I'm kooky and quirky and weird, and all of the news stations would report me and they probably would try to put me in a straitjacket. How is this possible? But it's easier for the mindset of man to recognize and agree with death first.
That's
right?
So good.
It's reason we have a problem with the resurrection and the rupturing and the rupturing of power of God. It's like, no, can't be, but yet somebody can call you and be like, Ray Ray died, and you'd be like, oh my God, it was his time. What?
Yes.
It was not his time.
Yes.
It was not normal. Right?
We dismiss what we can't explain.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, if I 8 resurrections, people that was dead died, you know, or whatever. And it's like, oh, that's not real. That's fake. That's not, they're lying. It's like, my God, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Mm-hmm. I have so enjoyed this time with you.
Yes, just always a pleasure.
Supernatural manifestations. I know you and I both can banter and go on and on and pull the scripture up because my spirit is scared. I'm like trying to go through the scripture. I'm like, oh, and I got 10 scriptures in my head. I'm like, we're gonna be here 2 hours
if
I keep going with where God is with where God is downloading and taking us. But I just want to make mention a few things that you are presently doing. I am so honored, Lisa, that God has divinely connected us. And one thing you told me at one of your ministry meetings, which I already knew by the Spirit of God, but I bore witness and received it, was you said, we got work to do. And I said, we absolutely do. We absolutely do. Yeah. And so as God brings forth strength, right, as he brings forth your strength and my strength within this region to break down these emotional strongholds, these mental strongholds, and all of the things that are affecting this city and this region and this nation, God has called us to more. God has called us higher. And so I find it an honor and a pleasure to serve alongside of you, Lisa, in these kingdom streets. I thank you, Lisa, for your yes to God and for your yes to this divine connection with us and so many others that you're partnered with Crazy 8 and all that you're doing with all of your books to set the captives free. Glory be to God, to demonstrate God's power. I'm all about the demonstration. That's my girl. Like she was like, we finished the demonstration right now, come on Holy Ghost. And I'd be like, look, I'm right there with you, like, oh, let's do it. Right.
Every demonstration.
They see two women coming up. They're like, what they finna do? And then just all of heaven just opens up. Right. The heavens literally open up and God just pours out his spirit. And I am so honored in the work that God has called you to. And so I want people to know that you have a ministry that actually travels. You're traveling all over. Tell people where you're going to kind of be maybe, or where they can go to find that out.
Yeah.
And then you have a book that just dropped. You have 8 books that you've written and one most recently. So if you'll share those tidbits of information for us.
Yeah, so the fastest way to get in contact with me is go right to my website at lisa-schwartz.com. Never put the T in my last name because it won't come up. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on TikTok and all the things. My 8th book is you can pre-order it. It will be out May 1st. It is called Your West Side Story. Very excited about that. I am going to be traveling in so many different places. I can't even list them all. What I can tell you is next week I will be in Nebraska. So I will be in the Omaha, Nebraska area. We're flying in on Thursday morning. We're actually doing a revival. And so I'm going to be preaching and ministering 3 nights at a church. Saturday morning, I'm going to be ministering at an outreach. I'm going to be preaching at that same church on Sunday morning. And there are also, I think there's only 2 private appointments left open. So whenever I travel to an area, we also set up a link where you can schedule a one-on-one appointment with us as well. So we're going to be in Nebraska. We're going to New Jersey, Oregon, Florida. Talk today about going actually in 2 weeks, maybe just making a zippy quick down to Orlando and back. We'll be in Houston. That's where you're at right now. We'll be in Michigan. We'll be in Kansas. We'll be in Alabama. We will be in Iowa, California. So we're literally traveling every weekend. Yeah, there's Nikki. There she is. That's the pastor of the church where we're going to be. And so super excited about that. Very excited to see what the Lord has in mind there. And just go to my website, click on that events page, or North Carolina. Thank you, Kyler. Go to my or sign up for my newsletter. We send a newsletter out the front of every month to kind of tell you what the schedule is. This Sunday, I'm actually going to be at Midlothian doing a house meeting at Five Stones Church. So if anybody wants to come to that, I will be ministering, prophesying, just letting the Holy Spirit loose and letting myself be yielded to the Holy Spirit. So also a church, which is interesting. I don't often minister in churches, but God is shifting some things. I think God is really doing a work. So most of the time I'm ministering in pavilions and barns and houses and living rooms and parks, in tents. And so it's fun. Nikki, I appreciate her and her husband for taking this leap of faith and saying, like, we really want to introduce another level of the supernatural into our church. And so I'm excited about that. So that was a lot. You can find me. I have podcasts. I write devotionals for YouVersion because I want to teach in my devotionals really are a verse, a declaration, and then a mirror talk. And so it really teaches you how to ingest the word of God. I do those, and they're a little vanilla because that's how YouVersion likes it. And I'm okay with that because that's the audience, right? And so we've got to start somewhere. So if you are like, man, I just really need to get into a daily pattern, go to YouVersion, look me up. You can find probably about 8 or 9 different devotionals that I've done for YouVersion as well. So there we go.
When you look at that, because
you've written a book as well.
Yes. I have 2 and I'm working on 2 presently.
Perfect.
And so I put them on pause because the Holy Spirit said put them on pause, but he's recently resurrected, said let's get to working on those again. And
good.
So I have the one that's almost done. I have 2 more chapters to complete in that. So I got to do a lot of editing. It's still a lot of work to do with that one. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, probably 3/4 of a way. I just need to get back in to finishing and what the Holy Spirit has to say about that. So I had partnered with Dr. Steve Green from Charisma Media mm-hmm. on one of those books, and he's passed since then. He became my business coach for a season, and we became very close. And so mm-hmm. I miss him quite a bit. So that's been kind of personal for me, that particular sure. book, because of the work we did together. He's been with
sure.
Charisma
sure.
For years. And the CPN network for the time that I was podcasting, still podcasting, but I was under the Charisma network. So mm-hmm. To God be the glory. God is moving and manifesting
Amen.
Himself in Amen. Such a mighty way.
Amen.
And I'm just moving where he sends me. We're starting our Freedom Friday coming here in the very near future. And so we're inviting Lisa to come to be a part of our Freedom.
I'll mark your calendar for Friday, August 2nd.
Yes. We're inviting Lisa. So as soon as we work out the details on that, we'll be communicating. We have newsletters, but just for different segments of our audience. But we will be communicating that via email, social media, and through other marketing avenues, through the podcast and all of those things. So stay tuned to Flawed and Free. Stay tuned. There's much, 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 much more coming,
wow.
not only for the two of us, but
because there's a lot of work to do.
Oh my God, there's a lot of work to do. Man, yep. Sometimes I go to sleep tonight like, Lord, am I going to mm-hmm. be able to do all this stuff? Right? But mm-hmm. he's with us. God be the
Amen.
Glory, he's with us.
Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
All for joining all of Lisa's audience, all of the Flawed and Free audience. We'll be back again because
yes.
I want to do it again. So
yes.
when time and allows you, Lisa, if you don't mind yes. being a guest here. Please, as always, if you feel led to sow into this ministry or into Lisa's ministry, if her yep. partners can put the link there before to sow into Crazy Aid or into Lisa and some mm-hmm. of the movement and some of the mandates and some of the kingdom advancement that she has right now going, please, I feel free now to sow a seed into Lisa. And so we want to make sure we make that available to you. We don't want to mm-hmm. steal from the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. right? From the time that you've given us in this hour mm-hmm. to pour out into. My apologies.
Still here. I'm like,
I know. My apologies to the audience. I don't know.
No worries. But nonetheless,
Yeah. Nonetheless, we're still here.
Yep,
If you still feel led to so, please do so. You can do so right now. Glory be to God. And I'm going to let you guys go. Hope says she's really enjoying this duo.
I know.
That's what we're going to do again. We have so much fun. Like, literally, we have so much fun.
I agree. Hey, we love you all. God. Thank you for joining us tonight. Apostle Latina, yes. I honor you. I honor you and I bless you and your ministry 100-fold. May God pour back into you everything that you've poured out. God, we thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you, God, that you are a super abundant God. Yes. And so I thank you, Lord, that he has in mind for you, not just to fill your cup, but that your cup will overflow. And I stand in agreement like a two-mouthed sword. We declare your cup is overflowing in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. And that plus some for you too. I decree and declare that all that you
I receive it. I receive it. Hey, you guys, my life. Watch this if you missed it. Some people are like, man, I missed it. Go back and rewatch it. No, you didn't miss nothing. You'll get it. You'll still get it.
Oh, yes, yes, Sharon, yes. Oh, my God, you have to come back. You have to, the replay will be up. The replay, listen, because I, you know, Lisa and I together for more than an hour will probably have you about to throw up, like spiritually.
And I was like, who wants to go to lunch with us? We're going to get everybody in the restaurant saved and delivered.
Yes, yes. It's like, man, I'm telling you, when I met her, I was like, you truly are the vanilla version of myself. Like, I see myself in you, like, in so many ways. And definitely, you know, no disrespect or dishonor at all, because it has nothing to do with color, but just totally, it's really hard for me sometimes to find that kindred, like, you know, that just the love of God, that just, and just the love of his word and the love for his people and just the genuine care for the things of God.
Yes.
And so I am extremely passionate. Sometimes it's hard for people to eat, right? Because I am very passionate. I'm very passionate. Very, very passionate about God and God's people. And so God placed this beautiful woman of God in my life very divinely, very strategically for such a time and a season such as this. And you stuck with me now, Lisa. I ain't going nowhere.
I'll take it. Hey, we love you guys so much.
I think we need to write a book together. I think God may have something for us and deliverance and the supernatural, and we'll see where God carries us. Right.
Yep.
We'll see where God. I definitely see a very long journey, long journey for what he has
and
called
fun.
Us to.
Long and fun.
Yeah. We love you too, Hope. We love you too. All of your audience that has had an opportunity that trusted your invite of me and to your platform to partner with you and the Holy Spirit. It was such an honor. So thank you again.
Let's do. We'll do it again.
Most definitely. Good night. And God bless. Good night, everyone. Good night.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com. flawedfree.com/give, or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree on Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.